Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is On Trial. Based on our reading from Acts chapter 4, let me read some selected verses again. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that Jesus Christ is the stone which was rejected by you, but which became the very cornerstone, and there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved." I encourage you to open up your bulletins and find the blue insert as we consider our theme, On Trial. The blue insert will be the sermon outline. On Trial. Have you ever been on trial? Have you ever been in a courtroom and seen a trial? Well, probably every one of us here, if not those first two things, have at least seen a trial portrayed on television. And in our text today from Acts chapter 4, Peter and some other followers of Jesus and the new Christian church have been put on trial just a short time after Jesus' resurrection. In the name of the risen Jesus, Peter and others are preaching and healing and bringing people into the new church. But they have strong opposition. They are on trial because of their faith, and they have to make a public defense of their Lord and what they believe and this new Christian church as the world puts them on trial. I'm going to ask you this morning to use your imagination, because this is not going to be a typical sermon. Although, having after been here 2 years, you wonder if there ever is a typical sermon. But today will not be a typical sermon, just a means of proclamation. Today, use your imagination. I want to take you with me into this courtroom, this court of law, as you hear the court transcripts read to you. The court transcripts of the trial of Jesus and those who followed him. The transcript is written by a court recorder. We have imported a well-dressed court recorder from Tuason to be with us this morning. The court transcripts covers a long period of time. And for many in our day today, are you listening? For many in our day today, just a few weeks after Easter, the verdict is still out on who Jesus is and the claim he has on everybody's life. Listen now to the record, and I invite my well-dressed court recorder to come forward. Remember on Easter Sunday when we clapped when Don Hindle was dressed in his suit? Today, our court recorder, Brad Felling. Now listen to the record of the court transcripts for the trial of Jesus of Nazareth and those who followed him. First, his birth.
The words of King Herod when told of the birth of Jesus.
King Herod said, "Kill him. There's only room for one king in this corner of the world."
The number of religious leaders who believed the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem.
Zero.
The type of people who did.
Well, some foreigners who were stargazers, called wise men, a ragtag bunch of night shift shepherds, and a couple of newlyweds named Joe and Mary, who were having their honeymoon in a stable. His ministry.
The word on the streets of Jesus' hometown when he claimed to be sent from God.
Weird family this Jesus had. Rumor has it that Joe isn't even his real father. And have you seen his cousin John? He's a real winner. He eats locusts and wild honey. He dresses in burlap. He preaches about Jesus. He baptizes people right and left, while some people have taken to call Jesus' cousin John, John the Baptizer. And this John the Baptizer once said this. We've got it in the court records. He said that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
The reaction of the hometown folks toward Jesus.
Stone him.
The opinion of his brothers.
Lock him up.
The number of disciples Jesus recruited.
70.
The number of disciples who defended him in front of hostile authorities.
0.
The assessment of Jesus' followers as found in the Jerusalem Post's editorial page.
They're a bunch of unemployed ne'er-do-wells, recruited right off the fishing boats, the shipping docks, even the red light districts, and word has it that one is an ex-tax man, and a crooked one at that.
The number of lepers and blind and lame people Jesus healed.
Too numerous to even count.
The number of healed lepers and blind and lame people who defended Jesus on the day of his death.
0. His execution.
The popular opinion regarding Jesus before he cleansed the temple of money changers.
Let's see if he'll run for political office.
The popular opinion regarding Jesus after he cleansed the temple.
Let's see how fast he can run.
The decision of the Jewish council.
One bone-tipped whip, one crown of thorns, one cross, three spiked-sized nails, and a spear.
The talk on the streets after Jesus died.
You know, he should have stayed in the carpentry business and the furniture business with his stepfather Joe.
The number of times Jesus prophesied that he would come back to life 3 days after his death.
3 times.
The number of apostles who heard the prophecy.
All of them.
The number of apostles who waited at the tomb to see if he would do as he said.
0.
The number of his followers who believed in the resurrection before it occurred.
You do the math.
The words of a street corner bookie regarding the odds he would give the day after the crucifixion on the possibility that Jesus' name would be known in the year 2009.
I'll give you better odds, say 100-1, that he'll rise from the dead. His followers.
The official response of the Jewish leaders to the rumors of Jesus' resurrection.
Of course his followers say he's alive. What else would they say? They have to say that.
The actual response of a good number of Jewish leaders to the resurrection of Jesus.
From the New Testament book, chapter 6 of Acts, a great number of the Jewish priests believed and obeyed the gospel.
The decision of the Jewish leaders about Jesus' followers, now called the church.
From Acts chapter 5, if their plan comes from human authority, it will fail. But if it comes from God, you will not be able to stop them.
The response of the church.
From Acts chapter 2, 4, and 6, so then, when those who had received the word were baptized, there were added that day some 3,000 souls. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. And now at this time, the disciples were daily increasing in number.
The official response of the Jewish leaders to the conversion of Saul, who had been a famous persecutor of the church, but was now spreading the message of Jesus.
Good riddance to that former Pharisee. won't be long till he's in jail. And that'll shout him up. What's he going to do then? Write letters?
Saul turned Paul, writing in just one of his many prison letters, which became the New Testament of the Bible.
From Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Greek. His followers continued.
The statement of the atheistic French philosopher Voltaire.
The Bible and Christianity will pass away within 100 years. Footnote to history, Voltaire died in 1778. The Christian faith and the Christian church continue.
The pronouncement of German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche in 1882.
God is dead. The dawn of science will be the doom of faith. Historical footnote, Nietzsche is buried. Science has dawned. Christianity continues.
The way a Russian communist dictionary defined the Bible.
It is a collection of fantastic legends without any scientific support, believed only by old women and the feeble-minded. Its followers will soon disappear. Communism is the hope for all mankind. Footnote, communism is all but dead. Christianity continues.
The discovery made by every person who has tried to bury the faith.
The same discovery by those who tried to bury its founder. He will just not stay in the tomb.
The fact.
The church continues to grow. Almost 2 billion believers in the world today.
The question.
How do we explain it? Jesus was just a backwater peasant. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never traveled more than 200 miles from his hometown. Friends left him. Others betrayed him. Those he helped and healed forgot him. Prior to his death, they abandoned him. But afterwards, it is written of his followers, the whole world was turned upside down. What made the difference?
The answer?
His death and resurrection. For when Jesus died, so did your sin. And when Jesus rose, so did your hope. For when he rose, your grave was changed from a final residence to just temporary housing.
The reason he did it?
He did it because of the face in your mirror.
The verdict after 2,000 years.
Herod was right. There is room only for one king.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Amen. In the name of Jesus, this trial is concluded. Amen.